Well, usually we'd be starting a series. We're not going to do that because in 2 weeks I am on vacation. So I'm here next week, and then I'm on vacation. And then the week after that, our new district superintendent, well, he's not that new anymore. He's been at about a year. He will come and preach for us on the 23rd, I think. So that's really exciting. That's my boss, if you didn't know what that is. But he's in charge of our whole district, which is about 80, 82 churches in Northeast Indiana. So he will be here to preach. I know you guys will love him. And so I'm not jumping into a series. We're going to do a couple one-off sermons before then. But anyway, so today we just have a sermon titled New Year, Same Gospel. And we've done, I feel like this is, I honestly couldn't tell you. I've lost so much track of time with COVID. I couldn't tell you how many years I've been doing this now or how many New Years I've preached. I think last year we did one called New Year, Old Wisdom. So along those lines, but this year we're kind of talking about the gospel. So New Year, same gospel. So question for you guys, how was last year for you? Okay. We're going to be all over the place. I'm confident, so that's okay. Not good. Awesome. Terrible. Exciting. What? Hard? Horrible. Yes, horrible. I thought you said bored for a second. I thought that's fair too, right? Literally any word you wanted to throw out, you could, right? And that's probably no different from any other year. Most of us, our years go differently than others, right? So then, no matter where you were on the spectrum, I guess, and this will be different answers too, are you ready for a new one? So those of you who say it was awesome, my thing is like, oh, maybe I want to stay, right? For those of you who said it was bad, yeah, let's get it behind us. Or maybe you can't, you know, maybe you're thinking, I don't know, is it going to get worse, right? Lots of mixed feelings, lots of emotions, lots of anticipation, especially now heading into the new year. I think 2020 threw us all for a loop when, you know, we just kind of moseyed into that thing, not knowing, you know, what was about to happen. I think now we're all kind of tense and trying to figure out how it's going to go. And we're hoping this is going to be a better one, right? We're hoping that no matter how good or bad our year was, we're hoping this one's going to be better. So, good or bad, a lot of stuff changed last year. So, last year, we got a new president right off the bat. New president. We got new vaccine technology, right? So, we got new vaccines for a new virus. Facebook changed their name to Meta for some reason last year, right? But they're ushering in this new digital metaverse kind of stuff. And if you don't understand that, you know, join the club. But there, you know, there's this digital stuff is kind of welling up, and this year was kind of the mark of that, right? And we also saw cryptocurrency become more accepted, and you know, if you watch TV or sports, you know, there's cryptocurrency advertisements all over the place, and that never happened before, right? Now it's feeling more and more digital, and things are moving in a different direction, right? And we got these also that was either invented or perfected was Hyper, I'm going to mess this up, but essentially GPS was made precision-based so that instead of being 5 to 6 meters off, they can now be 5 to 6 centimeters off. Isn't that crazy and scary, right? But it's pushing along the technology for self-driving vehicles and all that, because 5 to 6 meters, you know, that's a collision. 5 to 6 centimeters, that's not that big a deal, right? So it's pushing the technology of self-automated cars and taxis and buses and all that stuff. So lots and lots and lots of stuff, especially in the tech world, changed this past year in 2021. So this change either inspires you, maybe you thrive on change, right? Things start changing and you get excited about that. You like the thought of being able to nap while your car drives you somewhere, right? Or it scares you. How many of you would say, I mean, I'm inspired by change? That's what I figured. Maybe two. Yep. And then the rest of us are like, that scares me to death, right? I'm not driving if I don't have control of the, right? I've got to look at the road to see what's going to happen. I'm not trusting a computer to do this for me. So, change either inspires or scares you. And it's no different on the personal level. A lot changed for us personally last year as well. Maybe you became a parent or a grandparent for the first time, or the second or third time. Maybe you brought new life into the world this last year. Or maybe you got a promotion at work, maybe, or a new job, or however that might go, right? Maybe you moved. Maybe you sold your house and were lucky enough to find one in this housing market, and you moved last year. Or maybe some less than exciting things happened. Maybe you lost your job instead of being promoted, or maybe you entered into a, or maybe you separated, or your relationship was broken last year. Or maybe you lost someone, right? Someone close to you. I know a lot of us have. Or maybe all of those things happened to you, in which case, good grief, you know, what a year. But it's crazy how much stuff changes for us on a personal level each year, and you don't think about it until you, you know, we don't think about this, all this stuff that's happening. Otherwise, we'd probably just hide in a hole, right? But looking back on it, it's like, man, this really, a lot of stuff happened this year. Crazy, good or bad. So good or bad, change will happen, right? So no matter what last year was like, we can take an unchanging gospel with us into 2022. So the one thing that we can carry with us is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not going to change. It hasn't, and it never will. And that brings us security. So we can guarantee two things for 2022. And if you can read that real small, it says, besides taxes, we can always guarantee that there will be taxes, right? The government will always, always, always want their cut. Guaranteed. But beyond taxes, we can guarantee that more things will change, right? Always have, always will. If nothing else, your age will change in 2022, I promise, right? But otherwise, more things are going to change in 2022. And then the second thing we can guarantee is that the gospel will not change, right? So there's some security for us, right? Doesn't it feel good to go in with two guarantees? Three if you count taxes, right? I know things are going to change, and I can be ready for it, and I know that the gospel is not going to change, and I can lean on that. So this morning, that's what we're going to talk about, is how we can kind of harness or lean on the unchanging gospel in the new year. So we cannot control, right? We cannot control how things change. If it were up to me, GPS would not be driving cars, right? But it's not up to me. But we cannot control how things are changing, how the world moves, and what culture does in society. We cannot control those things. They're out of our control. We can control our choice to harness the gospel in our lives, right? Can't control our surroundings, we can control what we choose. So what do you think of when you hear the word gospel? Good news, right? Good answer. You guys are awesome. That's truly what the gospel is, right? It's good news. A lot of us ever been to like VBS as a kid and learned the ABCs, right? It's the admit, right? A, admit that you've sinned. B, believe that Jesus resurrected. And C, confess that Jesus is Lord. This is kind of what Christianity is. It's what following Jesus is, or at least it's the entry point to that. While this is true, and that's very, very true, right? There's so much more to the gospel and how it impacts and affects our lives on a daily basis. So, a new year is a new opportunity to look at the same gospel. Right? A new year is a new opportunity to look at the same gospel. So we're going to look at that today from three angles. The first angle is what the gospel is. What the gospel is. Galatians 1, verses 1 through 5 says, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me. To the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So, think of the last time you got good news, outside of what I just told you. Think of the last time you got good news. You got it locked in? Maybe it's been a couple years? Huh? Think back. The last time you got good news, what was it like? How did it feel? Exciting, right? Austin, Sunday school answer. I love it. It's exciting. It's good. It makes our day, right? It makes us feel better. Our outlook changes. We're in a better mood, right? Good news is a good feeling. It changes our perspective, at least temporarily, right? The gospel is truly the best news. The gospel is the best news. So why? Why is the gospel the best news? I'll give you three reasons. Reason number one is the God of the universe created you. The God of the universe created you. Let's grasp this for a second. Here's a picture of the known universe, right? We're humans. We're very egotistical. So naturally, right, we're at the center right here. You guys see that? That's our galaxy right there in the center, or our solar system right here in the center. So there's the sun. And then that little dot there is Earth, right? And so all these swirly things around are more galaxies, right? And then outside of that, you need to ask a scientist. I'm not sure what those web-looking things are, right? But this is what, there we go, thanks. This is what NASA has claimed the known universe, right? So what humans can grasp is the universe is so vast, so big, right, so overwhelming, and that's just the known universe, right? And God is the creator of the known universe and the unknown universe, and he created you, right? Reason two, the same God, the God of all of that, loves you. The same God that created all of that stuff loves you, and that might make you feel like, well, I'm insignificant. Right? I'm just this tiny thing on a tiny blue dot in a vast creation, right? Or maybe you've done things and you say, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve for anyone to love me, let alone the creator of something so great. But the truth is, the creator of the universe loves you, created you and loves you. Reason three, the God of the universe hasn't given up on you. Verse four says that he gave himself for our sins to deliver us, to rescue us from this present evil age. The God of the universe created me, and he loves me, and he also is sticking with me. How crazy is that? Anybody heard better news than that before? All right, good. First, yeah, thank you. No, silence is a good thing on that one, right? We haven't. That's the best news. That's crazy. So, if you haven't experienced salvation, this is a pretty good case, right? The creator of all things created me, loves me, and hasn't given up on me, but wants to rescue me and deliver me from sin and from things that weigh me down and burden me in my everyday life. That's really, really cool. You guys don't seem very excited about that, but I'll get to you guys too, right? Those of you who have experienced salvation, you guys still need this, right? And so do I. We still need the gospel. The gospel is more than a one-time prayer, right? That's where those ABCs come in, and they're good. That's where we get started, right? Admit, believe, confess, and then sit and wait, right? No, the gospel is more than a one-time prayer. So, the gospel is the ability, the empowerment, the actual, like, spirit of Jesus bringing Jesus into our present reality. So, like, we have not only, you know, this is the even more good news, the creator of the universe, we have that spirit with us in our present reality. Heaven and earth actually encountering and interacting with one another. That's the gospel. So, are we too focused on heaven, just waiting, right? Waiting to go, or are we bringing Jesus with us now? So that's the first angle. Are we focusing on heaven, or we bring Jesus with us now? That's what the gospel is. The gospel is the empowerment to have Jesus with us at all times. Second angle, what the gospel is not. So we started in Galatians 1:1-5. So this is 6-9. It says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Changes real quick, right? So he says, hey, churches in Galatia, I'm Paul on behalf of God. Remember, the guy that sent his son to die for you so you don't have to live in your sin and shame anymore. And then right away, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say it again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. That's pretty harsh, right? He said it twice, and he even threw an angel in there. Even if an angel is telling you something different than what the gospel is, let them be under God's curse. That's pretty serious. So what I get out of that is there is no other gospel, right? At least not one that's true. There's no other gospel, but we are presented with false gospels all the time, right? It's pretty easy to tell most of them, like, okay, that's not real, right? Especially in the secular world, but here in the church, we kind of get sidetracked too, and so here are three versions of the gospel that it's easy to buy into as a Christian. The first one is the good works gospel, right? And maybe, I felt this way sometimes growing up, but if I work hard, if I do good deeds or do the right thing, or I'm nice to people, right? If I'm a good person, then that will win me salvation. That will win me favor with God, right? Feels like that. It feels like that should work, right? But that's not the gospel. And the problem with that is that God is not a taskmaster, right? God freely gave grace so that we could not earn it, but it would be a gift so that we could be right with him, because there's nothing that we have the power to do to earn our own salvation, right? If we did, we wouldn't need God. So the second one is the happiness gospel or the prosperity gospel, right? This one is actually preached through our country, which is mind-boggling. Anyway, my wants, my needs, my happiness, my comfort, right? That's what God's going to bring. If I follow Jesus, I'm going to get richer. I'm going to have a better life. I'm not going to be sick. And if I am, I can, go ask someone for healing and it's going to be fine, right? The problem with this is that God is not a genie, right? This treats God like he's this genie in the bottle. I can, whenever I need something or want something, I can just rub that bottle and he'll pop out and give me whatever I want. But that's not the truth, is it? So, the second problem is there's no place for hardship. Remember, this Jesus that we follow suffered greatly on a cross. And what was his message to his disciples? Take up your cross and follow me. That doesn't sound comfortable, does it? Or happy, or like anything I would want, right? But if I'm following Jesus, sometimes hardship is a part of that. Then we have the Ticket to Heaven gospel. I don't know if you've ever seen that 70s show, but Red Foreman, he's a Korean War veteran. He's a character, obviously. This is him. He's a Korean War veteran. He's a dad in the 70s. And there's an episode where they're trying to get him to go to church, right? The family is trying to get him to go to church, and they said, you know, essentially, you know, if dad goes, we will go. And then, you know, the mom's like, ha, I knew it. You know, they're not going because you're not going. And he says this line, something to the effect of, me and God had a conversation back in Korea, and we're good. Right? Which is kind of funny, but like, this is a gospel that people actually buy into, right? I've prayed my prayer. I'm good to go. I don't need God anymore. I've prayed my prayer. I'm set. I've got my ticket to heaven. I'm just going to sit and wait. Right? And we know that's not true. The problem is that Jesus brought heaven and earth together. Right? We're supposed to bring Jesus in our everyday lives, everywhere we go, to all people, right? To Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. So, these are three of these gospels that are not, right? This is what the gospel is not. There is but one true gospel, just one, and you will never outgrow it, and you will never graduate from it. You will never be smarter or deeper in theology. If you are, you're wrong. You've bought into a false gospel, right? So, that is what the gospel isn't. Angle three, and this is kind of the application part. What do we do, right? So angle three is what we do with this gospel. So we know what it is, we know what it isn't. What do we do about it? Number one, we study the gospel. Study the gospel. Like, literally read the gospel, okay? Super easy, very deep, right? It's a very crazy answer, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are four accounts of four different disciples or followers of Jesus, the account of his life and ministry. We have that at our finger, like literally in our pocket all the time, whether you know it or not. Your phone can open up the Bible. It's awesome. You should do it, right? We can read the gospel anytime we want to. We can also study the gospel by attending church, small groups, Bible studies, right? And at those, or even in our own personal devotions and reading, we can, you know, actually attend them. Do things like take notes, ask questions. I'll tell you, some of the most growth I've had is just asking someone who knows more than me. You know? Anybody been there before? You just got real quiet. Yeah, ask questions, take notes, and then pray for insight. Pray for insight on the gospel. God's there, the gospel is alive. If we pray for insight, he will give it to us. So, the next one is savor the gospel. Savor the gospel. When I was in college, we had a restaurant close to Olivet. It was called the Coyote Canyon. It's no longer there, and I think I know the reason I'm about to tell you. My friends and I, when we were in college, we got talking about steak. Of course, you can't afford steak as a college student, right? Good steak anyway. But we had Coyote Canyon, and it's a steak buffet. I don't know if you can read that up there, but it says a steak buffet. So you know these are very expensive, very tender steaks if they're just tossing them out to college kids right off the buffet. We were sitting around one day, it's like, man, a steak sounds good. And then it was the whole, you know, college guy sitting around, I bet you I could eat more steaks than you. No way, no way, I could, blah, blah, blah. Well, I knew that I actually could win this bet. And so we went to Coyote Canyon, and I won. And if you were wondering what the number is, it's 13 is the number, at least in my circle that day. I don't think I could do it anymore. But, and then it's not like these were 8 ounces, you know, they're giving you the little guys. But it's a lot of steak, right? They got mashed potatoes on their first plate. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, I win. Easy, right? I only ate steak. I didn't eat anything else. So what I just described to you would be the opposite of savoring, right? If we're going to savor a steak, we're going to go somewhere downtown like St. Elmo's, right? And we're going to spend a little bit of money, and we're going to eat it nice and slow, and we're going to enjoy all the time that was put into raising that cow properly and grilling it and preparing it and seasoning it, right? And we're going to enjoy that steak. We're going to savor that, right? Now that you're all starving, we're almost done. Man, I'm starving at least. I talked myself into being hungry just now. We need to view the gospel as content that needs to be savored, right? It's okay to scroll through your phone and just mindlessly consume some stuff sometimes, especially if it's not bad stuff, right? It's okay to treat that like buffet steak because it's what it is, right? But the gospel, we need to enjoy it. We need to savor it. When's the last time you really enjoyed the gospel? When's the last time you read something in your Bible and thought, man, I really like that. I'm going to apply it to my life, and I'm going to like enjoy the process of this in my life, and I'm going to enjoy watching it transform my heart and transform my outlook and transform how I treat other people. We look at it as work sometimes, right? This is something I have to do because I'm a Christian. And it's hard. I mean, it is hard, right? But preparing a steak the right way is also hard. We enjoy the outcome. We enjoy the finished product. So the gospel is a privilege, not a duty. Austin, don't you dare laugh because I said duty. The gospel is a privilege, right? This is a gift. It's not something we have to do or view as work or as something that I just can't get out of. Because I want to go to heaven. This is a life-changing, transforming thing that we need to savor here on earth as Christians. And then the last thing we do with the gospel is to share the gospel, right? Study, savor, share. Share the gospel. Did you know that the gospel was never intended to be kept inside the church, right? The story, the good news of Jesus is not something that lives within four walls. Even if we try and make it that, it's not, you know, inherently, it's not. But sometimes we try and, you know, well, I go to church, that's where I do the Jesus stuff, and then I go about my life outside of here. Or if we could only get people into the building, right, then they could encounter Jesus. There you go. When this was written, they didn't have buildings, right? They didn't have church buildings put up. They were just out there with the gospel. Crazy, right? That's our thought. If we could just get somebody into church, it'd be this transformational experience, which is, you know, that's a good thought and it could be true. But we can take the gospel with us, right? So when we share the gospel, we take it to work. We take it to our kids' sporting events. Maybe we don't get kicked out for yelling at the refs, even though they deserve it a lot. I know it's hard, right? We take the gospel to sporting events. We take it to our neighbor's house when we go there for dinner or our friends. We take it everywhere, right? That's what it was meant to be. It was meant to be shared, studied, savored, and shared. So, final thought, a little bit later in Galatians, it's 2 verse 20. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what we can do because of the gospel, right? The Son of God gave himself for me so that I can live a life in the flesh, but through the Son of God. What Jesus wants to do can be lived through me, right? And through all of us. That's the gospel. So this is how we live it out. This is how we live the gospel out. Can you imagine what that would look like if we just submitted ourselves to Jesus and said, okay, I know I have this body. I know it's decaying. I know everything around me is changing at a rapid rate. But I'm here because of the good news of Jesus. And that is that he saved me and he rescued me from a life of sin and he wants to live and do stuff through me. What would it look like if I bought into that and lived that way in the next year? One thing, we would own up to our mistakes, right? It's no secret. That's why Jesus came, because we can't help but make mistakes. We can't help but sin. I would own up when I make mistakes rather than blame somebody or blame a circumstance or make an excuse, right? We wouldn't have to wallow in guilt and shame anymore. Can you imagine? But that's what this good news is. We don't have to just sit with what we've done wrong or what we can't get out of, right? So, we could continuously move forward. Rather than sit in guilt and shame, we could move forward in grace and peace that comes through Jesus. What a life, right? What a year that would be. So, let's make this our priority. We've got 363 days until the next one rolls around. Sounds like a lot, and it is, but it also, it's going to come quick, right? So let's make this our priority for the next 363 days to live this gospel out. A lot is going to change in 2022. A lot. The gospel of Jesus Christ will not. Would you pray with me? God, we're just humbled that you, the creator of all things, would not just love us and create us, but you would send your son to die a hard, long, painful death on our behalf that we deserve. Not just that, not just to rescue us from that, but to empower us to do your work here. God, help us to enjoy that work. Help us to take that work seriously as a not as a job that we have to do, but something that we get to do. God, we just can't thank you enough for loving us in this way. Creating us, loving us, saving us, and empowering us. Help us to do that for other people, God. Help us to show others. Help us to share that gospel this year. We just can't help but be humbled by the thought of the creator of the universe caring about the likes of us. Help us not to waste that this year. Go with us as we leave today. Protect us. Help heal those who are sick. And protect those who are not yet sick. God, we just thank you for the work you're doing. We love you and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The band's going to sing a song. If you guys felt God talking to you today at all, our altars are always open here. What a great way to start the year off. Just by responding to God and committing to his plan for you. Stand and sing with us.